Oh, yeah, folks. Hey, that was, well, you know what that was about. And thanks, Nevada, for free choice. I appreciate it. Well, we do want your love, but we also need your money. This is Carol with Arts Live and Local on KMUN on the day before the end of the pledge drive. And even more important, end of our 38 years on the air. It's our 38th birthday tomorrow. Yeah, I've been pitching in 38 here and there and everywhere for various programs that give me joy because I'm already a member several times over. So you could do whatever you like, but do give us some of your love and some of your money. We are getting there, but we still have, I'm not quite sure, maybe as much as $10,000 to go for our $70,000 goal. And I want to be sure that Arts Live and Local does its part because so many of you in the listening audience give us that support. You come in, you tell us about your engagements, your events, your activities, your excitements, and others of you get free tickets and learn about all kinds of things happening in the community, and I know you care. So this is the time. KMUN.org. It's as simple as that. You can also call 503-325-0010, and maybe somebody will pick up. I'm going to be on the phone, but I think there'll be a free line for you. Or P.O. Box 269, Astoria, Oregon, 97103. I want to wish everybody, oh, before I do that, I want to give a big thanks to Mary and Marilyn last week, who Mary put out that pledge drive, that challenge, and Marilyn took it, and I think some of you, others of you did as well. So thank you so much. And remember, every little bit counts. And speaking of Mary, by the way, don't forget that tomorrow's the big day for Art in the Park. If you happen to be able to get hold of a Coast Weekend, it's got the centerfold. But we talked about it. Mary is full of it. That's Mary Blake, of course, full of her usual enthusiasm and energy, seaside event promoting local art and nature. And keep that in mind because my first guest is touching on that as well. First, I want to wish everybody Ramadan Mubarak. And if you don't know what that is, check it out, Ramadan. It's the 30-day Muslim holiday of fasting and meditation and dedication, and it's a very rich time of year. And I want to send healing wishes to all in need, and that probably covers almost all of us, but especially to Eva, Rosie, Sue Z, Earl, Michelle, the Armstrong family, and John, our own Browns Meet John. So healing to you and healing to all and healing to the earth. And let's go right to my first guest. That would be Eva Lantella from Dragonfire Gallery in Cannon Beach. Hi, Eva.
Hi, Carol. So good to hear your voice and be on the air with you again.
You too. Now, I know I have to check every time, but how did I do on your last name?
You did extremely well.
Okay. it's that I try for the Finnish pronunciation, but okay.
Yes, you did. You did very well.
Okay. Okay. Good.
Thank you.
Well, as you can tell, Eva has been here before because she is a wonderful representative of not only her own gallery, Dragonfire, which is a large, rich, diverse, and wonderful gallery in Cannon Beach, but also today she's here as a spokesperson for one of the Cannon Beach festivals, which is happening live, and that is the spring unveiling. It is April 30th to May 2nd, so you've got a little time to put your life together and be able to take part in it. And, of course, Eva's going to tell you all the details. I will just say that many of the galleries, maybe most, again, Eva, you give us all this, the whole story, but in Cannon Beach take part in both spring unveiling and then stormy weather is the other one. Boy, on a day like today, it's a good thing it's the spring unveiling one. And one of the specialties of Dragonfire, which is how it related back to what I mentioned about the local art and nature, is that Eva has made it a practice to devote part of her gallery and part of the profits, the proceeds, to local environmental organizations through a raffle. Okay, Eva, take it away.
Thank you.
You got
Carol.
I just
want to actually announce that besides the Spring Unveiling Arts Festival and Stormy Weather, the Earth and Ocean Arts Festival is back again this year also, which will be in September.
Wonderful.
And that is a fundraiser for five local nonprofits, like the North Coast Land Conservancy, Falcon Cove Marine Reserve, Friends of Haystack Rock, Sea Turtles Forever. And so anyway, it's going to be a great event, and I'm so excited that we're able to have it again this year.
Me too, because I went to that, and I was blown away. And boy, it could have been the stormy weather. It was raining like crazy, but it still went on, and everybody loved it. So I hope you'll come back and tell us about that festival in maybe August or something. Okay.
Sure, I would be happy to.
Good.
So spring unveiling this year, we're very, we're so glad to have the festivals back. And, of course, we have to follow some of the restrictions and so many people in at a time. But stormy weather flowed really well with that, and I think it's going to be just a great event this year. And so all the galleries of the Cannon Beach Gallery Group, which is Archimedes, Bronze Coast Gallery, the Cannon Beach Gallery, Ice Fire Glassworks, Images of the West, Jeffrey Hall Gallery, Northwest by Northwest Gallery, and Whitebird Gallery, and of course Dragonfire are all involved.
Wow, that's so
there's
fabulous.
There's just an amazing array of art that you can see. It's going to be stunning.
Now, it's a three.
So if you go on the Cannon Beach Gallery Group website, which is just cbgallerygroup.com, you can get to any of the galleries and check them out. There's links to everybody there if you want to get a preview of what they are going to be doing for the festival.
Excellent. Okay. And it's a 3-day festival, so how does that stretch out? Are there going to be events throughout the weekend?
You know, all the galleries, we used to have assigned times for unveiling. So if people wanted to go and see fresh art unveiled, meaning that it's wrapped and it's, you know, paper taken off the top of them and you can see what's there, but it draws a big crowd. And so we can't do that this year.
Uh-huh.
So all the galleries all have all the new artwork and everything, and they do have some artist demonstrations, not all of them. But again, if you go on the individual galleries' websites, you will see, but the shows open up at 10 a.m. on the Friday. And at Dragonfire, we will be having music from 11 to 3. We do have our featured artists in the gallery, both Friday and Saturday between 11 and 3, perhaps longer, and also Sunday. So there's lots of opportunity to be able to meet the artists, see them working, see a video of the, when it's glass blowing, we can't do glass blowing during here at Dragonfire.
So, not so good.
But you'll see videos of what they created and how they did it.
Well, why don't you tell us about each of the featured artists at Dragonfire.
So we have Ann Cavanaugh, who is a fused glass artist, and Andy Nichols, who is a blown glass artist. And they have their own individual work, as well as they collaborated this year on something that they don't think anybody else has done. Andy makes these incredible blown glass salmon and trout, truly just gorgeous, which we have carried in the past, and we will have them. But then what they decided to do was Anne made fused glass panels of her landscapes. If you're familiar with her work, she's very popular. She does landscapes, especially treescapes, as well as coastal scapes, all made out of glass panels that are on stands. And she made some that Andy could take. And because they both work, which is really unusual, in a 90 coefficient glass, he takes her panels and does what's called a roll-up. He needs an assistant to do this. And so these flat panels are rolled up into a cylinder and then closed up at one end, and then he blows them and very slowly creates these fish out of them.
Oh, my
God. Each one of them is completely unique. You know, I can describe a couple. There is a coastal scene. There is a mountain scene. There's a cherry tree. This one is just amazing.
How beautiful they are. How big is one of the fish when it?
I'm going to guess. I should know the answer to that. We just received them. If I had to guess, I would say maybe 14, 16, maybe 18 inches long.
Okay.
And they're very, you know, obviously three-dimensional, and they can have a stand made for them, or they are very carefully balanced on their fins.
Oh, my gosh.
And can actually be in a couple of different positions. I mean, you have to see them. They're just stunning.
Yeah.
And actually, if you go on our website, there is a link to a video a very short video that it's like a slideshow that shows the start of Anne's glass and the finish of Andy's fish, and it's just stunning.
Now, are they have they worked together before?
Andy has rolled up some of Anne's panels so that they could be a vase.
Oh, gosh.
Which are really beautiful. And you can't make that kind of glass blowing. You can't make landscapes and flowers and whatever in that kind of way blowing glass.
Right.
And so when you combine the two of them, it just, it's really stunning. So he has done what's called some roll-ups of her panels in the past, but never something like the sophistication of these.
Right. Boy, it's fascinating. I'm sitting listening to you and trying to imagine. So I think I'll go to the website, what is your website?
It's Dragonfire. Don't do dragonfly, folks. It's dragonfiregallery.com.
Okay.
And there you can go to our events page and you can get to the schedule. You can get to the artists that are part of the show.
Okay.
So the other two artists are, is it okay if I say
yes, that's what I was going to ask, please. I know Michael Orwick. He was that during the ocean that he and another artist did the, where they switched off their art at the coaster?
Yeah, they did. That's right. They did Quick Draw.
Quick Draw.
I mean, it was,
it was hilarious.
Gosh, they are so much fun. And yes, that is Michael. And he does that with Anton Pavlenko.
Right.
And
right.
A Dragon Fire artist. But that won't be happening at Spring Unveiling, but maybe we'll have it at Earth and Ocean again.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Okay, so tell us about Michael.
Michael's a part of it. His beautiful atmospheric paintings, and he really knocked it out of the park. We were just working on his display. I'm just so proud to have him in the gallery.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, we have Mark Schultz, who works in scratchboard and watercolor. I don't know if you're familiar with scratchboard, but there's a board and it's got this black ink. It's covered with this black ink, and you scratch into it to make your image.
With
what? And then he adds watercolor.
Okay, wait. What do you scratch with?
Again, there is a short video of him or a slideshow showing the progression of one. I think it's an owl that's on there.
Yeah.
But Carol, I got to tell you, he did one of the Liberty Theater.
Oh.
That is just sensational. Ooh. I'll have to send you a photo.
I would love it. Yeah. I bet it's going to belong on the Liberty webpage.
It's a gorgeous. It's a gorgeous painting.
What does he scratch? What does he scratch with, Eva? When you say he's,
He's got. You know what? It's some kind of a. It's very fine etching, so it's some kind of a little metal tool. He will have all his supplies with him when he comes. I have not seen him work before.
Okay.
So it's going to be a little bit of an education for myself as well.
Good.
To really see what he's doing. But I have to tell you, I mean, he's really known for his owls, but he does all kinds of birds and other things. They're really incredibly detailed.
And where does he live?
I'm sorry?
Where does he live?
Oh, he lives in Washington State in Tenino? Yeah. Is that how it's said? Tenino, I think it is.
Him
and his wife. Yeah. His wife is also a dragon fire artist, and they have a farm.
Oh, cool. Yeah. So I can see.
They're just a wonderful addition.
And
I would actually like to put a little something out there, Carol.
Yes.
If somebody buys the Liberty Theater piece from hearing this show or from finding out about it as a result of this show, I will donate my proceeds to both KMUN and Liberty Theater. I'll send half to both of you.
Okay, folks, listen up. There she goes again. There goes Eva again.
I'd be delighted to donate the proceeds. And there is actually a smaller Liberty Theater. The bigger one is even more amazing. It's not that big. The scratchboard pieces don't come. It's not like you can get a 48 by 60 or something. It doesn't work that way. They're much smaller pieces, and so they're quite affordable. And they're astounding. So come and see the Liberty Peace Theater. If you tell me you heard about it on KMUN, I'm going to donate that money back.
Well, thank you so much. Tell me, is that on the website as well? Can people, or no, the Liberty isn't. The
it
owl.
Is not on the website yet. We're kind of, but you know what, Carol? I think that we are going to do a social media post sharing that piece. See, often we keep the pieces secret until spring unveiling. That's the whole idea.
Right.
But I was going to reveal one more of his pieces. It might be that one, but it will definitely be up by what is going to happen is we're having a filming done next week, a virtual tour for anybody who cannot make it to the festival. That tour will be released on our website the morning of April 30th, and you will see that painting on the virtual tour.
Well, I really appreciate that because although I live only 50 miles away, there are listeners who live thousands of miles away. So they hear about these exciting events and then sigh, that's the end of it. So thank you for sharing so that people can tour the gallery. And I don't know how you're going to do it because Dragonfire Gallery is so packed with stuff, beautiful stuff, and such diversity as well. I always enjoy my time. You can kind of get lost in there just cruising. Now, you have some kind of a raffle, is it, going on as well?
Yes, now our raffle is actually going to go on until Earth and Ocean. Now, I don't know if you remember, but we raffled a Michael Orwick the last time, and we raised $4,000 for the North Coast Land Conservancy at the last Earth and Ocean.
Mm-hmm.
So this year we are doing a Greg Navratil, and you can see it on our website. It's a gorgeous painting. Tickets are $10, three for $25. The painting is $4,300 value. He is a local from Gerhardt, and he is donating all of it as well.
Wow.
And
beautiful.
I'm really hoping we're going to have a big sum of money. We're having brisk sales already, and just trying to help the NCLC with that rainforest reserve, you know, which is really closing in on it.
I know. It's so exciting. And it's so exciting that so many of us local community members are able to take a part of that by making a contribution, as little or as much as possible. So If you don't know what we're talking about, you can go to North Coast Land Conservancy and check out about their, they have grown so much and done an enormous amount. So tell me, what is your connection, besides living in this gorgeous part of the world, being involved in the arts, which of course nature is the best artist, how did you decide, how long have you had Dragonfire, and how did you decide to make part of your mission supporting local environmental groups?
You know what, Carol? This year is our 20th anniversary. July 13th is 20 years. So
congratulations! Lovely.
I feel so blessed, really, to live here and have this art gallery. It's inspiring every day, and I got through this crazy last year because of this place. I just walk in and I love it. Yeah. And to be so surrounded by all this beautiful artwork is it's just inspiring. And you know how we're so colorful. It always just feels warm in here.
Yeah.
So I decided to start raising money because as I started to get older, I realized and things were more settled financially with the gallery. And I started wanting to do more. I wanted to give back to my community. And now I was able to. And so I started thinking of ways that I could do that. And so I started to find items that I could sell where I would donate all proceeds from that to different local environmental and wildlife nonprofits. Well, they're environmental too, such as the Wildlife Center of the North Coast. They are one of the ones that are part of Earth and Ocean, as well as we raise money for them monthly as well. And so, you know what? It gave me even that much more of a mission to my work. It's not just about, even though selling artwork is enough and supporting artists in that way and being able to have such a wonderful team of staff that I have, but that I could do more, you know, and give back to the community I've been able to enjoy really. It really touches my heart. It makes me feel really good.
Mm-hmm. And it is a natural combination. As I say, nature is the original artist. But you've been very good about this as devoting even a part of the gallery has special items that go directly to the groups. Tell me, and we have a couple more minutes. This is an unfair question. Your background, because I remember, I think it was during Earth and Ocean or one of the festivals when you were part of a panel, and I had no idea of your heavy-duty background. So tell us, in the arts.
I'm wondering what I said that you're referring to. I was born in Finland, and I'm not sure, Carol, what...
You spoke so eloquently about
I probably talked about the fact that I grew up in a salmon fishing family on the BC coast. And actually, my father started out as a uranium miner in Elliott Lake, Ontario. We immigrated to Canada as my mother had three children in less than 3 years. And with these three children, four and under, they immigrated to Canada as a very poor family. And my father started out in uranium mining. And his dream, though, was to become a commercial fisherman on the West Coast. And so eventually we did make our way to the West Coast, and he realized his dream, and it was a good life. But certainly the experience I had of being able to go out on the water, see places you cannot see any other way except from the water. I had such an enormous amount of respect for the power of the ocean and all it provides. And, that's definitely an inspiration, too. You know, I don't eat salmon anymore because I'm giving mine to the orca.
Lovely. So what were you doing?
I don't eat meat anywhere either, you know, but anyway, the salmon are very dear to my heart. And,
what were you doing before you decided to start Dragon Fire Gallery?
I was a massage therapist primarily. I've always been self-employed. Very few stints of working for somebody. So I started out as a massage therapist in Canada, and more of the healing arts as well. And I had gone and moved to the New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania area for 7 years, and you know, eventually made my way here with my partner Mari. And she had an art background of sorts. Her mother was a painter, and she painted not as a living, but anyway, somehow we had this crazy notion we would open a ceramic painting studio and have some local art in there as well. And we found out we would go broke really quick just as a ceramic.
Wow.
And so, you know, without any experience really in art, I became a gallery owner and I just ran on my passion for artwork.
Well, you have certainly. Your passion and the passion of the community blended, and it's been quite a gift. Was the space you're in now your original gallery?
We were upstairs. It was just 1,000 square feet upstairs with the ceramic area as well as a small gallery. And then after about 4 years, we moved downstairs, and then the building was bought, and it was totally redone. But we still inhabit part of that second space, and it's expanded. So we're something like 3,500 square feet now.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to say, I know we're probably running out of time, Carol, is that besides these four featured artists, we have added, I think, 4 or 5 new artists this year. Mm. And all our artists have brought in new work. The gallery is just brimming with beautiful, beautiful work, and I hope that people will come in and take a look. Even if all you do is come in to take a look, please do.
So when are you open?
I want to say that what I said about the Liberty Theater piece, no matter who buys it and when they buy it, I will donate that money as my pledge to KMUN and to the Liberty Theater.
Thank you so much. And we do have thousands of witnesses, so we'll hold you to it. Thank you for that. Tell me.
If you see it get Mark sold on the website, you better contact me.
I've got him circled right here, Mark Schultz. Okay, so Dragon Fire is at 123 South Hemlock Street. The Spring Unveiling Fest is April 30th to May 2nd. But what are your hours at Dragon Fire all the time?
We are 10 to 5 every day.
Oh,
and
okay.
We'll have slightly expanded hours for Spring Unveiling. But yeah, we're 10 to 5, 7 days a week.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Can I put in one plug for something?
Yes.
Jeffrey Hull, because you asked about a raffle. I know that Jeffrey Hull has a raffle going on right now for both the Cannon Beach Food Pantry and the Astoria Warming Center. He is donating the proceeds from a painting that he has. You can find it on his website. And the tickets are only like $5 or 5 for 20.
Yeah, excellent.
And that money goes to the food pantry and to the Astoria Warming Center. So please support him, and you can buy tickets over the phone. You don't even have to come to Cannon Beach.
Fantastic. And I will repeat, as Lorraine Ortiz always says, art saves lives. And that's people lives, the earth, the animals, the critters, and our community. Thank you so much, Eva Lantala, from Dragon Fire Gallery in Cannon Beach. And we'll announce the festival in the next when it's coming up as well. Take care. Be well.
Yeah. Oh, you also, Carol. Thank you. It's been delightful.
Okay.
Lots of love to you.
You too. And this is KMUN Arts Live and Local. And even if you don't buy the Liberty painting, which would be fabulous, you can call us 503-325-0010 or just go to kmun.org, press that red button, and drop in whatever works for you. Make a membership or add to your membership, or just say, hey, I've been doing this for a while. My community, I want to be part of it. Thanks, folks. Some music coming up. Thank you to my buddy over there right through the window. Nevada's ready to push the button. Here's a piece from Michigan Warbler.
Kill me now while I'm happy. I'm in trouble. Every picture you send makes me swoon. And I know from my past how I grow so attached. And I die anyway when it all falls to ruin. So kill me now. It's all in the air, for we fall with our heels in the sand and your hand in my hand. Hey, that don't sound so bad. Maybe I can pretend that I don't know my record. A loss on this track. I'm in trouble.
Trouble from Trust and the High Wire by Michigan Warbler. And boy, we got a couple of guests coming up here, folks. They've got stories to tell. Hi, Michigan.
Hi. How are you, Carol?
That sounds beautiful. That's wonderful.
Thank you.
Let me bring Jenny in and then we'll talk. My other guest, Jenny Kakunda, known as Jenny Q, so you don't have to worry about how to pronounce her name, although it's a wonderful name. Hi, Jenny.
Hi, honey. Hi.
Wonderful. I'm so delighted to have the two of you here. I met Michigan a number of years ago when she came to Astoria to make music and came back a couple of times. But the last time she came back, it was for real. And she brought with her wife, Jenny Q, and the two of them are continuing in their arts, and they are all over the place. Obviously, the music, you've seen them and heard them on stage here at the Liberty and also at Kala, and also in the healing arts, and Michigan is a visual artist as well. They both write, and so... Wow, where shall we start? Well, let's start with something a little more sort of solid, the musical background or the art, visual arts background. And then I want to bring us to today, including Trust in the High Wire and Held Together. So who's going to start? Michigan, why don't you start?
Okay, honey. Well, that song you just heard was one of the first songs I wrote after meeting Jenny in 2013. And I was living in Southern Oregon at the time, and I was on tour and met this woman down in Joshua Tree and couldn't stop thinking about her. And went down to visit, and, you know, the rest is history.
Well, I know the history, but we're going to get to that in a minute. But what were you doing for the I don't know how many years before 8 years ago when you met Jenny, in terms of the music and visual arts and writing, poetry?
Well, I mean, I'm not quite sure how many records I have now. It depends what you count. But I've been putting out records since the early 90s and touring all over the place. That was full-time for a long time.
And you tour solo and with a band, with your band, is that right?
That's right. Solo, duo, trio, five-piece. I've been lucky enough to do a few tours with a larger band. And then with the last couple of years in Joshua Tree, I was able to do some kind of bigger experiment stuff, because we have a beautiful festival down there that happens twice a year, the Joshua Tree Music Festival, and that enabled me, having kind of a standing gig there, enabled me to pull together some bigger projects, like a circus a few times.
Ooh.
And
Wait. What is a circus? What does that mean?
The Royal Rabble Circus, where we did a lot of kind of acrobatics. You know, got some acrobats in and dancing and kind of a theater along to the songs. Basically, all kind of trying to bring the songs into a more visual representation to kind of flesh out the meaning of them as they are played.
I'm going to lean on you. Once the world, well, it's starting to reopen, but once the world reopens here and your lives are also moving and changing, I would love, we have been trying to have a people's circus here for many, many, many years, since Pickle Family Circus came to town and inspired us all. And have you also been doing the visual arts for all these years?
Yeah, mostly collage stuff. That's kind of mostly what I do visual arts wise.
Okay.
But then I ended up down in Joshua Tree on tour. I met Jenny, who is a herbalist and has this beautiful shop down in Joshua Tree called Grateful Desert.
Okay, and I'm going to shift over to Jenny, because you just said the magic words. In addition to Jenny's name, also the name of the shop was Grateful Desert. However,
that's right.
That also has transitioned. But before we get there, Jenny, I'm so delighted to be able to talk to you about all of this, because since you two were on Arts Live and Local, 2 years ago or something, and since then, I have read your book, Held Together, and learned the whole story, but a huge chunk of the story of your life in the last 7 or 8 years. So before we get to that, though, give us a little bit of your life. Like, where does the title, okay, I must admit, this is not an innocent question. Where does the word grateful come from in the names of your shops?
Well,
yes.
Yeah, well, actually, yes, helping up front for the time. I tend to live my life from that place. It's really important. I feel like no matter what kind of troubles there may be, if you hold gratitude first, then perspective shifts and life is good no matter what. And I have had some, you know, hard things in my life, and so it's kind of kept me not just alive but joyous.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I'm a deadhead. I did travel with the dead from 88 until Jerry died, and then I guess that was 94. So I thought it was just kind of fun to have kind of my life's really direction as gratitude driven, and also that I'm a deadhead to go for Grateful Desert.
Right. And you learned your art that you put out in Grateful Desert, and now you are offering here in Astoria at Grateful Rain. Tell us what that is, the healing arts. Tell us what that is.
Well, I started kind of getting into health, holistic health, in my early 20s. I come from a family of physicians, and so it was kind of naturally driven towards the healing, you know, healing arts life. But I chose to go in plant medicine direction and started studying with one of the greats, David Hoffman. I'm so blessed to have gotten to study with him. And so worked with him for a year and started my tincture company in 95. And when I went to Joshua Tree in 2000, I started working with just the local stores and with clients. And then I went to nursing school and became an RN. And instead of working in a hospital, I chose to open an apothecary and offer then kind of a retail spot that also is a resource center, not just to come and buy tinctures or essential oils, but also to come and ask questions about health. And if I could guide them, that's wonderful. And if not, I can help network them to the help that they need. It's just my greatest joy. It's also super fun to work with essential oils. People love it. It's such a great draw to be blending for people specifically. And, you know, in Joshua Tree, and I found as well in Astoria, I really needed a good source of Arabic food for myself. And so it just kind of made sense to offer that in my shop. In Joshua Tree, whenever I used to go to Little Gaza for food, all of my friends, I'd have a whole huge list of things to buy for everybody. So I just said, finally, okay, we're just going to have it in the store.
Your family, your parents were immigrants from Palestine, is that correct? Were you and your siblings born here or there?
We were actually the only Arabic cousins born in this country. My parents were only supposed to come for a couple years but got stuck here. So they were married there and came here, and then they started having us. So we're the Americanized cousins.
Right. But you've got your dad's a physician.
Yes.
You've got a brother who's a pharmacist, a brother who's a lawyer.
Yes.
And a sister who's a naturopathic doctor.
Yes. Uh-huh. And then my oldest sister is a general practitioner.
Yeah. So were you the youngest?
I'm actually smack dab in the middle of all of them.
Well, boy.
So I'm very much the middle child.
Yeah, you sure are. I mean, here they all were going a relatively straight path, and you ducked out and started moving along with the Grateful Dead.
That's right.
I'm sure you're...
Much to the chagrin of my Palestinian parents.
I'm sure much to the chagrin of any parents.
Yeah, that's true.
But especially some folks, is traditional or not, it was still a bit of a shock. But I'm sure they're thrilled at how you've come out. Now, let's go back to 7-8 years ago when the two of you met. I think it was, 6 months after you met that you life changed radically?
Yeah. Mishkin had actually just moved in with Yazzie and I in November.
And Yazzie is your...
Yes, Yazzie is our now 15-year-old.
15-year-old beautiful daughter.
And at the time she was 7, and, you know, Mishkin proposed to me on Thanksgiving, actually, and... and then in January, I got very, very sick and ended up in the hospital and was was gone for 6 months in an ICU unit. And Mishkin became an instant mom and was raising Yazzie on her own while I was, you know, fighting to live.
Yeah, it was. How long were you in the hospital?
Well, I was inpatient for 6 months and then in and out for another 6 months.
Right. And that was a life and death situation constantly.
Very much so.
And folks, the reason I sound as though I know what I'm talking about is only because I read Jenny's book, Held Together. It's beautiful book. She did not write the whole thing. It is written by all the members of her community. It's a beautiful tribute to talk about grateful, to gratitude, abundance, love, caring, blessings. And I think you've got that book at the at Grateful Rain. Okay.
Yes.
And I don't know, do you have Mishkin's Trust and the High Wire book as well?
Yes.
Oh, because that's a gorgeous, that's a lot shorter, but it's packed full with poetry, lyrics from the songs in the album, and then song-specific collages. Just a beautiful piece of art in itself. So now you're here, and much to my delight, this is home, because I wondered during the pandemic whether you folks might decide Joshua Tree was really the place.
And I mean, it's kind of funny to land here and then all, you know, soon after be in this very crazy situation we've all been in.
Mishkin, what do you think? You get to Joshua Tree, you meet Jenny, and boom. And you get to Astoria, and boom.
I should stop moving around.
I think you better stay here and keep,
I think so.
Yeah, keep the path going. So so you are going to live here. This, you're part of our community. As a matter of fact, I understand that Mishkin and Jenny have recorded one of the short concerts for the Charlene Larson Center for the Performing Arts.
That's right.
Which will be posted.
That was fun.
We'll be hearing more about that, but I'm looking forward to seeing it and hearing it. And so tell us a little bit about A Grateful Rain. Jenny already told us about the tinctures and the healing, and then there's a whole room full of fabulous Arabic delicacies. I immediately picked up a Holloway with fustic, and it is delicious, I can guarantee. And Mishkin, tell us about the other room that you've got going.
Well, there's the book and instrument room, and there'll be more books in it soon and more instruments, but we've got a little collection to start with, and I'm studying restoration of vintage acoustic instruments because I have a big love of them. So right now we've, you know, got a couple old guitars and a nice old mandolin and ukulele, and plan to keep collecting and figuring out how to do restoration work on and restoring.
So do you do
beautiful instruments?
If someone has an instrument that they need restored, are you ready to do that, or are you still no? Okay. Or is that not?
I don't really know. I don't want to be trusted yet with people's precious belongings.
Okay. So if someone,
but maybe someday.
But if someone has an instrument that they don't want, and that looks
indeed,
they can come and show it to you, and maybe you might want to try working on that. Okay. The Grateful Rain is at 1428 Commercial. And it's open Thursday to Monday, 11 to 4. And one of the beautiful things I noticed when I went in was that Jenny Q and Mishkin had moved into the space that had been called Designing Health with Cindy and Dawn. And I thought, what a perfect space that the healing energy is still there. And continues.
I feel that way, too. I was so excited to hear that they were here before us.
Yeah. And, Mishkin, apparently you must play tenor as well. Tenor guitar, is that right?
Oh, I do.
Because you were part of
that's
festival.
That's how I first started. Well, maybe not the first time I came to Astoria, but definitely a few times I came out here to play the gathering before I lived here. And it was a plan to be doing it last year and then this year, but now it's all been postponed till next year.
Well, it's going to happen. We're going to make sure it happens. And so
of course it is.
Now you're right here. You're a captive audience. So that's quite terrific. And Jenny?
Yeah, it's a wonderful event, that tenor guitar gathering.
Tenor guitar gathering.
I don't know
I didn't know very many other tenor players until I started coming out and playing.
Well, and that was the wonderful Mark Josephs who decided it had to happen. And Astoria had to be the center of the universe for tenor guitar. And so it is.
Right?
So, folks, stay tuned for that because it will be coming back and I'll be telling you more about it. So, Mishkin, what instruments do you play?
Mostly six-string guitar and tenor guitar.
Okay. And Jenny...
Yeah, but I dabble on... I used to play a lot more mandolin and percussion, and I dabble around on piano and all that stuff.
That's what I was suspicioning. Yes. And Jenny, what did you play?
Well, I grew up playing piano, actually, and I played... as a young adult, I played the djembe and a lot of drums. And right before I got sick, I was playing the guitar and just excited about learning the violin. And but then after the hospital, I couldn't really hold my hand in a way to play those kinds of guitars or those kinds of string instruments anymore. But then the cello, I fell in love. She called to me, and so she's kind of my My biggest sweetheart right now.
Right. Well, I remember that the time that you two were on the air with me, because Mishkin's been on before, but and here you were with this big cello, and I went, oh, wait. And it was like, okay, let's squeeze this in along with the rest. But it's quite wonderful. And do you want to talk at all about why, how your body has affected what you do, if it has, the changes?
Well, do you mean musically or just
in any
my
way?
Life?
In any way, yeah.
Yeah, I know. Well, I was going to tell you, and this is hilarious, that we've been on tour through Europe and all over the place, and we always joke, like, why didn't I pick the piccolo? Like, why did I have such a heavy, huge instrument, you know?
Yeah.
But the cello chose me, actually, and, you know... I have to say, most of the time, I just feel very grateful for this weird and wonderful and surreal experience that I have been through. But sometimes, and, you know, I still, like, it doesn't happen often, but last night I just, you know, was weeping about the change in my ability. And it doesn't, again, it doesn't happen that often, but I'm mentioning it because I feel... It's the real thing, too. So, yes, I feel grateful, but there are times when I have to just weep for how hard things can be.
Do you want to share with... It's up to you if you want to share with anyone what we're talking about, what the changes.
Yes. Oh, yes. So, I am a double amputee, and under my prosthesis, I have... All my skin are skin grafts. So it's not, you know, it's also kind of painful to wear the legs. And I also lost fingers and internal organs as well. And, you know, what really got me upset yesterday was that I had a really bad pain in my leg, and I thought, oh, no, I won't be able to work in the store in my legs. And I just wept because I've been working so hard to get the store up and running, and I've been enjoying riding my three-wheeled bike on the Riverwalk to work every day. And I'm thinking, this is – so I – and I woke up just fine, but it was a good chance for me to just cry. I mean, it's a – you know, it's – But thankfully, I just got my legs back on this morning, and life is just as good as it was yesterday. So I'm feeling really grateful for that.
Well, I'm delighted because the shop is open Thursday through Monday, 11 to 4, as you could hear, folks, in the background, the people coming in. And it's at 1428 Commercial on the north side, Grateful Rain. You will have the opportunity to meet Mishkin Warbler and Jenny Kukunda, known as Jenny Q, and enjoy their warmth, sense of humor, and delicious Arabic treats. Figure out what the heck Mishkin is doing with those instruments. And then, I must say, as soon as you walk in the shop, the scents, the fragrances are quite wonderful. But they're also medicine and healing. So thank you so much for doing what you're doing. And then check out the books that each of them has created. And I'm sure Mishkin's albums will be there. And I look forward to seeing and hearing you again soon.
I can't wait to
see
you again.
You
okay.
Really do.
Take good care.
Yeah,
take care.
Bye-bye
now.
Bye. Thanks, Carol. Bye.
Okay. Folks, you're listening to Arts Live and Local. I forgot to mention. Oh, my goodness. And did we hang up already? Okay, here's what happened. Can you call them back?
Yeah.
Here's what happened. There has been an anonymous donation of a business membership for the Grateful Rain, Jenny Q and Mishkin's new herbal shop. It's called Aroma Bar and Apothecary, Vintage Instruments and Middle Eastern Market. So I just want to let you know, folks, and this was an anonymous donation for a business membership. And if you know someone who's creating or has created a business and you want to support KMUN and the business, because they get a lot of publicity through the radio station, give them a call or give us a call or just go online and do your thing. Match this generous membership. Whatever you want to give is welcome for us. And I'm just going to tell you what else, because in addition to Art in the Park tomorrow, which you heard all about last week, and that is 1 to 4, and you can go to their virtual, they've got everything going on, and there's a fabulous spread in Coast Weekend as well tomorrow. Also, something we had talked about in the past, the North Coast Chorale on Sunday at 4 p.m. has a live performance at the Larson Center, the Charlene Larson Center for the Performing Arts on 16th and Franklin. However, you need to get your tickets at partnersforthepack.org. That's P-A-C, partnersforthepack.org. And also tonight, Cannon Beach at the Bistro, 5:30 to 8, West Warmond, Saturday as well. They've got music all the time, including on Sunday and Thursday, the Cats, and Wednesdays, Thistle and Rose. Tomorrow also is Peninsula Performing Arts Center at 2 o'clock and 6 o'clock, live music outdoor concert with Barney Perrine. Call 360-901-0962. Or if you're Lisa, put zeros in. There are only 30 people per show, 2 and 6. And so get in there. Rotary Club of Southwest Pacific County is having a live auction benefit. They've been having their affair all week, but tomorrow's live. National Park Week, Fort Clatsop Junior Ranger Books. Check that out and stop by at Fort Clatsop. And the Southwester is featuring Aaron Fagan, 8 to 9:30. On Sunday, also, the Assistance League has virtual cooking class to benefit kids with Chef Sean Whitaker. And the Hoffman Gallery is still open right now till 5, as are many of the galleries, including the check out our Historical Society here in Astoria.